All of us know someone who would benefit from mindfulness and meditation, but how do you share it with them without seeming pushy or annoying? Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello, my friend. Hope you're happy. Hope you're peaceful. It's your old pal, Sean. And thanks to Graham, Angela, and Zoe, who became supporters of the podcast on Patreon. Please do support the podcast if you can. It's only 5 of your Earth pounds a month, or 7 Earth dollars, and you get access to lots of exclusive material. It supports the podcast, it funds the spread of mindfulness, and I want to create a movement that gets more people meditating. You could be part of that movement too. We're going to start to talk about that today, but I'll be expanding on how you can get involved in the next few weeks. Do join the Facebook group and make your suggestions for episodes and enter May's competition where you can choose your own prize. Submit a photo, poem, painting, anything creative that you like. The theme is freedom and the competition thread is stickied at the top of the Facebook page. Click on the link in the description and please do email me if you want to get added to the podcast get together on May the 18th, which is Saturday. Imagine that you and a bunch of other people were raised in a cave, chained to the ground, and all you'd ever experienced was inside it. The only visual stimulation you had was dancing shadows on the wall in front of you, created by puppeteers in front of a fire. The shadows show people and scenes and animals, and weave a reality that is the total experience of your life in the cave. All you know is what the puppeteers show you, and you have no conception of life outside. And then one day you manage to loosen the chains and you stand up. You look around and you realize that the images projected on the wall are not reality. So you start walking and reach the entrance where the sun is shining through. Your eyes hurt, unaccustomed to the light, and you feel fear, not knowing what you're going to experience in this new reality. You want to run back into the cave, back to what you knew before, but you're a brave soul and you decide to leave the cave and see what's outside. Your eyes adjust and for the first time you see the grass, the trees, the hills, the sky and the clouds. You take it all in wonder as you begin to understand the world as it truly is, not the projected shadow world you lived in before. And as you adjust to living in the real world, you feel joy. You roll in the grass, you hug a tree, you pet a dog, you eat an apple, you watch the sun set and rise, you experience the wonder of the universe. You decide that you can't keep this to yourself, and you need to free the others living in the cave. So you go back in, tripping over a rock and falling over because you can't see in the dark now. You fumble around until you finally reach the people you grew up with, still intently watching the puppet show projected on the wall. You shake them and tell them that it's not real, there's a whole world waiting outside, but they can't understand and are uncomfortable with how you've changed, maybe even feel threatened by you. They decide to stay, watching the puppets dance on the wall, which is quite a sad ending, but let's stick a pin in that for now. This is, of course, Plato's cave, an allegory of how false reality can be constructed by our mind, the process of enlightenment, and the difficulty in trying to share that new perspective with other people. It's more Greek philosophy. There's been way too much of that this year. I should have made it the theme, but it's very apt for the journey of developing your practice. Plato's cave has been applied many times in popular culture and movies, including The Matrix, The Truman Show and Dark City. The cavern that we live in is our mind. The projected images on the wall is the reality it creates for us. And the outside world is the true reality that we can choose to experience directly. Plato's intent was a metaphor for a general escape from ignorance and understanding the world as it truly is. But this applies equally to our letting go of our attachments and aversions, our beliefs and our traumas, and choosing to experience reality directly, in particular, the reality of interbeing, the idea that all things are connected, our mind and body, humans and animals, the earth and the universe, all influence each other and are a continuous tapestry that forms reality. So far, so good. But the challenge comes when your newfound awareness of reality starts to call into question some fundamental assumptions about how the world works, assumptions that were informed by our culture, our experiences, and other people. We can start to question how we spend our time, how we consume, what's important in life, how we look after each other, the economic system that we take for granted, the thoughts we have. Just like the person stumbling out of the cave, this might be a painful process. For example, many people beginning their practice struggle with suddenly being aware of their thoughts. They shut them out before with consumption and distractions, and are now experiencing the true reality of them, maybe for the first time. But of course, through the practice, you can learn to notice your thoughts, accept them, and learn from them. The same is true of making changes to your consumption, how you speak to others, all the different dimensions. It takes time to adjust to the new reality that mindful awareness puts you in. But you start to gain a lot of joy and insight from your practice. You start to let go of some of the suffering you've experienced your whole life. And then you want to share it with other people, so you run back into the cave, and it's darker than you remembered and doesn't quite make sense like it used to. But you start to share what you've been learning, and maybe some people are happy for you. Maybe some people aren't really interested. Others might even be hostile to your new way of being. But no one's moving. Everyone continues to watch the projections on the cave wall. So what can you do to convince people to try mindfulness? Well, I would suggest the key thing is to make it organic and natural, not to try and force it on people. Thich Nhat Hanh thought the best way to convince people was through the example of your practice and the peace and the joy that it brings you. And this applies anywhere. It could be in your family, at your workplace, or with your friends. When people see how it gives you resilience in tough times, when they see how you can transform suffering into joy and experience happiness even in difficult times, they will want to know more. So the first and most important thing that you can do is keep working on your practice, because I guarantee that people will notice the changes in you. The second way is for mindfulness to inform the help and support that you offer people during difficult times. Having a compassionate ear makes a massive difference to how someone can feel, and when they ask you for your perspective on things, which people do with me sometimes, you have the framework already there to provide that person with advice if they want it. And in seeing the insight and transformational power that mindfulness has, people will want to try it. They may even ask you to teach it to them, and your instinct might be to say, well, I'm not really qualified, or I'm not a Zen master. I would encourage you to trust in your practice and share what you've learned. You don't need to be a Buddhist monk to share resources like YouTube videos or Thich Nhat Hanh's books. You don't have to be Jon Kabat-Zinn to talk about your own experience and how it's helped you. Share your example, and then when people ask, share your experiences of the practice. And don't get discouraged if someone has a go at mindfulness and then drops it. You're planting seeds. Most people need several attempts before they can establish a regular practice. And that's what I'm thinking about at the moment. How do we plant seeds for the future of this world? How do we create that awareness, that spark in people so they want to give it a go? I'm going to have a think over the next few weeks about how that could work. And I really want you to get involved, because if we can get to a critical mass of people practicing mindfulness, we have an opportunity to change society and reduce the suffering that the world is experiencing. But more on this in a few weeks. For now, let's sit together for a few minutes with a visualization guided meditation. I'm going to start with three sounds of the bell and the usual settling in introduction. I'm going to start, as we always do, by applying our beginner's mind to your posture. So I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head, and it's gently pulling you upwards into an upright position, your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, and your hands comfortably in your lap. Just allowing a gentle smile to emerge in your face, as we take a moment to enjoy the stability of our posture. Then expanding that spotlight of awareness to your entire body, noticing where you feel warm or cold, noticing where you feel tense or relaxed, becoming aware of the sensation of the clothes against your skin, and the points of contact between your body and the chair and the floor. And shifting that spotlight of awareness to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises. And that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. It could be a happy thought about today. Or a sad thought about yesterday. Just sitting with each thought for a moment, allowing it to leave, and then gently and without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness on your breath, noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in. Warmer on the way out. Breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. In, out. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. Flower, fresh. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathing out, I feel solid. Mountain, solid. breathing in, I see myself as still water. Breathing out, I reflect the world as it truly is. Still water, reflecting. Breathing in, I see myself as empty space. Breathing out, I feel free. Space, free. And as we reach the end of the guided meditation, just taking a moment or two to notice any changes in your body. Any areas of relaxation. Any areas of discomfort or tension. And stretching those if you need to. Noticing any changes in your mind. And if you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. And so for your mindfulness homework this week, I would invite you to reflect on your practice and how your perspective on the world and yourself has changed as a result. Really celebrate the progress that you've made. I'd like you to think about the example that your practice sets. So remembering interbeing and everything being connected. And bringing mindfulness into conversations when someone you know is suffering. Not to say that you should practice mindfulness or you need to meditate. Just sharing what you've learned and how you view your mind, your thoughts. What you've learned through Thich Nhat Hanh or this podcast. Other sources. And may you be happy. May you be peaceful. And may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slán a bhfuil, and I'll see you next time.